You see, the scripture talk about dead men walking.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to be among the living literally means you've had your conscience resurrected out from among the dead.
Amen.
And the dead ain't graveyard. The dead is teachings, mm-hmm. doctrines,
yes.
isms, religion.
Yes.
And so when the conscience has been resurrected,
mm-hmm.
Paul used this word in Hebrews, he's having your conscience purged.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever notice he never said from sin?
That's right.
You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
And see, there was no sin conscience until Moses showed up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I can prove it by the book.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Moses' law was given to prove to us that we'd missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
And the word sin comes from that word, having missed the mark. Paul used another term, having come short of the glory.
Uh-huh.
Just didn't quite get there.
Amen.
That's what he said. No, almost there. Almost there. Just come short of the glory.
Mm-hmm.
Missed the mark. You didn't throw the ball far enough.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get our mind uncluttered from what religion has put there,
mm-hmm.
we're going to find out who we have really been all along.
Amen.
We're going to find out who we haven't been.
Amen.
See, we never have been what religion said we were. Y'all look at me funny now. And I've said this, and I'll say it, and I tell you this, I'm going to have fun while I'm here.
Amen.
I ain't got no sad song to sing.
Amen.
I ain't got no world poor me blues to tell you anything about. I ain't got no problems.
Amen.
I made a statement. I said, I don't have any needs. Somebody come to me after service and said, Brother Ray, you oughtn't to say that. People won't give you anything. But that's the mentality that people need conscience.
Uh-huh.
They really are.
Yeah.
And so they go somewhere to a place called church,
mm-hmm.
or to a building called church or whatever. They go somewhere to get their needs met.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that funny?
Amen.
That really is funny.
Is.
When you look at the foolishness of it, it really is funny. See, the reality is, you are the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't ask you a question before I preach. Where is God really now? Really, where is He? Let me ask you another question. How many temples does He have? One up there and one down here? Did you ever notice when we pray or sing, or whatever we do, most of the time it's to another person or place out there somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but when I pray, my voice always changes. I seem to want to get loud. Maybe if I get loud enough, He can surely hear me well out there somewhere.
Yeah, that's the middle.
Because in our consciousness, that's where He really is.
Mm-hmm.
He's right down there somewhere, and if I get loud enough and long enough, He'll surely hear me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing? We're the funniest creatures He ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said He has to have a sense of humor. I think He does.
Mm-hmm.
To put up with our childishness, our foolishness. That religion has taught us.
Yes.
Well, it has.
Yeah.
Did it ever dawn on you when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, even the dogs couldn't bark? Did you ever look at that?
Mm.
They weren't in sin.
Right.
Wasn't no sin there.
That's right.
It was bondage. Egypt means bondage. It wasn't a land of sin. Land of bondage. And they had a Pharaoh that made sure they stayed in bondage. Your TV preachers are Pharaohs that make sure you stay in bondage. I know you love me, so I can just say whatever I... I was coming out of Oklahoma a few weeks ago. And while I was there, the Lord had dealt so strong on my heart about some things. They like you are. They're hungry. They're open. They're like all of us. They want truth. And on the way home, about 8-hour drive, I heard the voice in me speak to the me. And it said, "Fear the face of no man." And I heard it the second time. And I began to ponder, what am I hearing? What is this all about? Before I got home, I knew. And I, like you would do, I began to weep. And I understood, finally, that he was simply telling, the Spirit of truth was telling me to declare truth without the fear of what a man may say or do. And then and there I assumed it all.
Amen.
I wouldn't hurt you. I wouldn't offend you for nothing in the world.
Amen.
That's just not me.
Amen.
I love God's creation. I came here for the purpose. When I say here not, but I came for my former glory here for a purpose to release his growing creation.
Yes.
I can't be mad at it. I'm not mad at it. I have no stones. I came here as a savior. Oh, yes, you did. That's what you're here for.
Amen.
He is Savior. You are Saviors. Oh, Mount Zion. And that's my little mountain out here in these hills somewhere. That's a kingdom ruling. That's a kingdom order. And you are a Savior from that kingdom order. You descended to this low order to release all mankind. And let all his creation know the joy and the liberty of the sons of God.
Amen.
This is what it's all about.
That's right.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
So what I share with you, I share from my heart.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, the Word of God has offended me a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Somebody said, "Oh, the Word don't offend." I beg your pardon. Now, the Scripture may not.
Yeah.
But the Spirit of truth will.
Because
the Spirit of truth come to set in order that which was out of order. Go with me to the book of Genesis, if you will. We'll begin there. And I'm going to look at my watch, because I already know there's some turnip greens and cornbread waiting. You can't beat that decision, no buck with a credit card. I mean, especially the way Alabama folks cook turnip greens, mustard greens, collard greens, soup beans. Yeah. Don't y'all leave because they ain't ready yet. In the book of Genesis, and I'll share with you what the Lord has shared with me, so that's all I can do. Chapter 32, and I'll just start here because I won't stay here, but. Verse 24 of chapter 32 in the book of Genesis. It says, "And Jacob was left alone." Now that can be a good thing or it can be a not so good. It depends on your perception.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob was left alone. You ever felt that way? Now it'll tell you the next verse why he was left alone. And I'll tell you this before I go there. You'll never have your final wrestling match with you until you are left alone. As long as you can call somebody to help you do your wrestling, you're going to do it. I know I've been there. And I've laughed about it, and you probably laughed about it. And I've said this repeatedly, and I say it to me. I've searched the scripture, and I've never found one time where Jesus ever sat down on the side of the road and said, "Brethren, y'all pray for me. I just don't know if I'm going to make it or not." I never find where the disciples come together and held hands and pray for one another.
No.
Now, I do that. Somebody said, "Oh, but Paul said do that." But let me take you one step beyond what Paul said. Can we do that?
Yeah, sure. Come on.
You see, Paul only wrote to the churches. Mm-hmm. Paul never wrote to the real you. Mm-hmm. He didn't. And I know this tape is going to some ears that may not like to hear this, but that's okay. Paul simply took a group of people away from Moses and put them into Christ. Mm-hmm. That was his mission. Mm-hmm. Paul wasn't sent to the Jews. Paul was sent to the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. There was nobody had ever gone to the Gentiles until Paul showed up. Somebody said, "Oh, Jesus did." No, he didn't. It said that he came to his own. And his own was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Mm-hmm. His own was the tribe of Judah, plus nothing. Mm-hmm. And they said, "His own received him not." Mm-hmm. Somebody said, "Didn't he come to the whole world?" Well, you just read and find out who he come to. Mm-hmm. And all through the house, nothing was stirring. It's amazing what he come to do, and it's more amazing what he sent you to do when he left here.
Mm-hmm.
How many remember he made the statement, "It's expedient for you that I get out of here"?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my daddy raised 12 of us kids, and he taught us a little bit of horse sense. And just a little bit of horse sense would tell us a whole lot if we just listen to it sometimes.
Right.
We're putting a disc blade on a disc. And that's why I got a bandage there. I put my finger in the wrong place. And I've got two men standing there, grown men. One is 40-some-year-old, one's 50-some-year-old, and telling me they don't know how to take a disc blade off of a disc and put another one on. They said, "We don't know how." And I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "Look. Take that bolt off, that bolt off, that cap off, and that's off, and that's all there is to it."
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, but we don't know how." And I heard myself say something. One of them was my son. And I said, "I know you've got some horses because I gave it to you. Now use it." And it's amazing we won't use our horses sometimes. I don't know how much sense a horse has got, but I mean, I've got some horse sense. But you see, we've always depended on somebody else to tell us how to do and what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and while we've got him alone here, let me drop this thought in your thinking. Men will give you titles.
Yeah.
God will give you a name.
Right.
No disrespect to any minister whatsoever, or any man whatsoever. Titles will never deliver groaning creation.
Amen, amen.
Won't do it. A name will.
Yeah.
When we prayed a while ago, whose name was we praying in? We wasn't praying in some title, we was praying in a name.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of titles now, and I carried one, I've carried all of them. I was an evangelist. And somebody said, "Oh, Paul said in Ephesians that God gave some." Go look in the original canon of scripture, and that fivefold ministry, like we have known it, was never a part of God's scripture. It wasn't. It was given by Romanism to hold people in bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Will you hear me now?
Yeah.
Mm. Titles. I carried the title Reverend.
Mm-hmm.
And I never know where I got it. Except when I went to preaching, people just gave me that title, "You're Reverend." And so I signed my name, Reverend. Mm-hmm. Man, that made me feel like somebody. I'm Reverend.
Yeah.
And then I don't know where that name come from. I thought, oh my God,
yeah.
What am I doing? I tacked on my Reverend, Reverend Mr. Ray Basil. Man, that sounded very official. Made me very spiritual.
Yeah.
Now then, the big thing now is bishop. Everybody wants to be a bishop.
Uh-huh.
Title.
Uh-huh.
To elevate above everybody else.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm going to tell you this, in all due respect to everybody. God never gave you the title of bishop, pastor, evangelist. God never gave you that title. God, if you feed the people of God, God gave you the title shepherd.
Yes, amen.
Feed my sheep.
Yes.
Feed my lambs.
Uh-huh.
Feed.
Uh-huh.
Not a title.
That's right.
A name.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Amen.
Jacob was left alone. And then look what he said.
Uh-huh.
There wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day.
Uh-huh.
And the wrestling always takes place until the sun comes up.
Yeah.
And when you understand that y'all, I ain't gonna go there. Okay. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And if you're not careful, you get the he and the him mixed up here.
Mm-hmm.
The him that couldn't prevail was the message.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll read that here in a minute. Verse 26. And he said, "Let me go for the daybreak." And he, you got the two he's here. And he said unto him, "What is your name?" Now remember something. This whole ordeal was about a name.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this event was about a name. Because there's about to be a name change.
Yeah.
And the changing of the name would cause the wrestling match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you think about this, but I know for me, the wrestling is all on the inside.
Yeah.
Now, let's read in a bit here. And he said unto him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince have you power with God and with man, and have prevailed." Now here comes a question from Jacob. And he still won't recognize his name because it says, "And Jacob said."
Mm-hmm.
He just got through getting a new name.
Mm-hmm.
But habit. We're creatures of habit.
Right.
And there's no more bad habits in the world than religious habits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've said that before. But we think if people use drugs, alcohol, all that stuff, that's habit. And it may very well be. But I'm telling you now, I know and you know when you face reality that we've been bound by religious habits that have done a thing in the world but hurry us up to holy ground.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And promise us that there'll be another day coming.
Yeah.
And so we just go to the holy ground and wait until the resurrection.
Yeah, right.
And some of these days we're going to come out of the ground. Let me ask you this question before I go any further. What does it mean? What does resurrection mean to you? I mean, I'm not being funny. I'm just, what does resurrection mean to you? Now, I know what I was taught it meant. Then I found out what I thought it was meant wasn't truth. Resurrection, I was thought was going to be an event.
Yeah.
And if you were dead, if you physically died and went to a hole in the ground, that those old bones down there was going to hear a sound, and they was going to come together, and flesh was going to come back on those bones, and you were going to come up out of that hole in the ground and go sailing through there and be with the Lord forevermore. That even the horse sense.
Right, really.
resurrection is a person.
Come on, that doesn't get horse sense.
Amen.
That's religion, and they taught it to us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a damnable habit, just as damnable as drugs is to the outsider.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't look at me so hard now. This is the truth. We'll come back to that. I see you didn't like that. I'll let you chew. We'll come back to that. And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray you, what's your name?" I mean, this guy just don't get it. He just got through telling Jacob, "You're no longer going to be a supplanter and a liar and a deceiver. You're not going to be, you're a prince. You've got power with God.
Amen.
You've got favor with God and man."
Yeah.
And he just wants to tell me what your name is.
Yeah.
We would say in Alabama, what it is.
Yeah.
Say, hey, dude, what it is.
Yeah.
we're an odd bunch of people, aren't we?
Yeah.
Here's what he said. And he said, "Wherever that," Jacob said, "Pray tell me what's your name?" And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And then, of course, his thigh was touched, and his walk was altered. Now, let me tell you this, and you already know this. Let me bring it to your memory. A name changes the walk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it changes consciousness.
Yes.
It changes mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It changes your understanding of who you were and according to the religious system, but who you really have always been according to the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
It does.
Yes.
See, a man... One place it says angel wrestled with him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know this, but let me bring it to your mind. The word angel, I've always had a winged creature. That's what I was told. And everybody sees angels. And I've had men of God, I personally know some men of God, who had visions of going to heaven and seeing a hell, people burning in hell. They had that vision. And the Lord sovereignly taught me this. Your vision will depend on where you are in God when you have your vision.
Amen.
Yes. It will. And if all you've ever known is dying and going to hell, or dying and going to heaven, yeah, your vision will picture that exactly. Because your vision will supersede your consciousness.
Amen.
Hear me now, I have never said this.
Hallelujah.
That's why there's got to be a consciousness raised from among the dead. So our vision can be true. I'm here to tell you now, we're here to reconcile the world unto God.
Yes.
And we can't do it with a crossed up, messed up vision.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come here to get blessed. And I don't say that vociferously. I come here to bless.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I come here to father nations.
Amen.
Can we hear this?
Yes.
You see, a father doesn't only beget life, he sustains life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And when I say here, I'm not talking about Door, Alabama, yet I am talking about Door, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come here to get my needs met. That's not what I come here for.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what you come here for. You come here to be a supplier of the needs of the whole world.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about popcorn and soup beans. That ain't the needs I'm talking about. You see, the truth is this. If you can elevate a man from his poverty mentality, he can enjoy prosperity of God's economy.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, he can. Did you know in 1900, somewhere in that time frame, only 5% of the population of the United States worked for somebody else? 95% of the populated United States owned their own business or worked for their own selves? Do you know now that it's completely reversed? There's only 5% of the population who owns their business or works for themselves. They work for somebody else. They want somebody else to assume the responsibilities. Now, don't think I'm being mean here. Resurrection has come. Do you believe that? And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm telling you, if you work for somebody else, they tell you when to come to work. They tell you when to go home.
Mm-hmm.
They tell you when to take a vacation. They can tell you how long your vacation is. And they'll dictate to you how much money you can spend on your vacation. Oh, they do. Because if you're making $100 a week, you ain't going to take no vacation but $1,000. You better not. So the company you work for. But now here they come along in the World War II era, after World War II, we're going to give you benefits. We're going to give you paid vacation. We're going to give you hospitalization programs. We're going to give you retirement benefits that when you get 65 years old, you're going to get so much money by working for us all your life. The truth is, if you'd have the initiative to work for your own self, you could have been retired all the time. Now I see some of you saying, somebody saying, what's wrong with him? Somebody said, I don't know. What'd you come to see? A reed shaking in the wind? You come to the wrong place, that's what you come to see.
Right.
See, a reed shaking in the wind, you know what that means?
Mm-hmm.
A reed is what they use to measure the temple with.
Mm-hmm.
Sure was.
Mm-hmm.
And that reed you ain't gonna shake. It's going to measure us just exactly like it's supposed to measure us,
mm-hmm.
and it'll straighten out the crooked place it needs to be straight.
Right.
Well, sure it will.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't going to shake in the wind. Every wind of doctrine ain't going to move it. It's like an arrow. It's as straight as an arrow. It'll just keep on holding true course.
Yes. Yes.
So, an angel is a message. Sometimes it's a messenger with a message. And sometimes it's just the appearing of the messenger.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the word angel really comes from.
Mm-hmm.
He may just show up. Or he may come and bring your word.
Mm-hmm.
Or he may be the word.
Right.
The message. Go over to the book of Hebrews and look at something. And I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, and you can turn forward to, but when Paul made the statement, he first said, where we have not come to. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
We have not come to the mountain
mm-hmm.
that's burning, can't be touched. If you do, you die.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't come there. That was Moses' mountain. And that word mountain literally means a government order. It has nothing to do with a literal mountain somewhere. It's a government order. And he said, you're not under that order. But you are, we have come to Mount Zion, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have come to the kingdom order.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Mosaic order. How many know that the Mosaic order was never a kingdom order?
That's right.
The Mosaic order was given to show our shortcomings.
Mm-hmm.
We missed the mark.
Yes.
We come short of that glory.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll tell you why you come short of that glory. That glory was a fading glory according to Paul in Corinthians. It wasn't here to say no way. And I don't know about you, but if and I heard somebody say, well, their husband or somebody not saved. Let me tell you about that. When you understand truth, you're going to thank God that he didn't come through your religious system.
Amen.
You will thank God that he didn't come through your religious system.
Amen.
I had a son, and I know what I'm talking about. I had a son, and I fasted and prayed. God, do something for my son. God, do something for my son. He wasn't bad. He just wasn't conformed. And some of your husbands or wives or kids that you think, because they won't go to church with you on Sunday, they're bad. You might not leave them alone.
Amen.
It might surprise you how much God they've got inside them.
Amen.
Absolutely.
See, sometimes the God that's in you has to go through a religious system to get out in the open.
Right.
Am I telling you the truth?
Yes.
Go to John. Oh man, those beans, I smell them. Listen. Go to John chapter 11, and then John chapter 1, and we'll quit. How many knows there's no beginning of this thing?
Yeah.
That's why there ain't no ending. Honest God, there ain't no end. You just have to sit down and shut up and start over again. Sometimes it's hard to sit down and shut up. It is for me. John chapter 10. I said chapter 10. What is it?
Man.
Chapter 10. I'm sorry.
Okay.
and we'll start in verse 27. My church members hear my voice.
No.
I'm being honest. I'm not going to say this except to be funny. And don't raise your hand, don't care about that. How many of you have been baptized and want to join the church? Don't say nothing. Just. What did you join? Don't say nothing now. Just say. What did you join? You see, the truth are, you are the church.
Amen.
How can you join something that you are?
Yeah. Amen. Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said, I was baptized in Jesus' name. Somebody said, not me. I'm baptizing that Holy Trinity. God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And in reality, there's no such thing. There is no Holy Trinity.
That's right.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God ain't a Holy Trinity.
Right,
he's one God.
Amen.
Somebody says, I got the Holy Ghost when I come up out of the water speaking in tongues. I said, goody, goody, goody. John the Baptist got the Holy Ghost in Mama's belly. Now beat that, will you?
Amen. Glory. Glory.
It's amazing somebody forgot to tell John he got to be baptized.
Yeah.
And I hear people that way, I'm Jesus only.
Mm-hmm.
I was in with a group not long ago. And their major theme is, we are the I Am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they we're the I Am, we're the I Am.
Yeah.
The only thing about it, I didn't see no proof of the I Am. I kept looking, but where's the I Am at? Where's the other? You say you're I Am. And I'm being funny, but it is funny. But their major song is, here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Come and feed me until I won't no more.
Uh-huh.
I said, wait a minute. You're the I Am. What are you doing with a cup in your hand? Oh, God, hear me.
Amen.
Why do we act like beggars?
Right.
When will we get away from the mentality, I've got to be fed?
Right.
and understand that you didn't come here to be fed, you come here to feed.
Yes.
I ain't got no cup.
Amen.
I'm not drinking from no well.
Amen.
There's a river in my belly.
Yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
And it's the same river that came out of the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing about it, when it got out of Eden, it got split into four different divisions.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm going to tell you now, the division has been healed.
Yeah.
And there's not four rivers in my belly anymore. There's a river. And there's a people now that knows truth, that can stand and declare,
mm-hmm.
eat my flesh,
yes.
drink my blood,
mm-hmm.
you've got no life in you.
Amen.
Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and you'll see that the only veil was the veil of his flesh.
That's right.
And he went through it.
Right.
You did too. You got to hear this.
Yes.
As he is,
so are we,
so are we.
Yeah,
in this blessed world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And if you think you're going to sit there and try to get Jesus to do anything, you missed the mark.
Amen.
Go to John 17 and you hear him tell you, I finished the work that you gave me to do, Father.
Yeah.
Now give me my glory back that I had with you before the world began.
Yes.
Stay in that same chapter and you'll hear him say, as you send me, so send I them.
Yeah.
It ain't about Jesus doing anything. It's about you doing what you come here to do.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It is. Thank God for Jesus. Take nothing from his deity. Take nothing from his name.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you something about that name, Jesus. It was an angel said, you'll call his name Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Now you hear this. God said his name would be Emmanuel.
Yes.
Not Jesus.
That's right.
It was a messenger, an angel. You call his name Jesus. For he'll save his people from their sins. God said his name shall be called Emmanuel. God with us. Let me ask you a question. When was he crucified? When was he slain? Come on now. It ain't a trick question. This is reality. It says he was slain from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Now, I dare you go to Romans chapter 6 and see when you died with him.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't hear me yet, but you will.
Yes. Yes.
Romans 6 in fact declared, when he died, I died.
Yes. Yes.
When he was buried, I was buried.
Uh-huh.
Oh, but when he arose, I arose.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you, it happened before I ever got here.
Yes. Yes.
It happened from the foundation of the world. When he was slain, I was slain. When he arose, I arose. When I got here in his flesh form, I had to experience what he had legally already taken care of. If you ever notice, all of our reference is to him, to him, to him, to him. It's always about what he's going to do. Right? I feel an awesomeness in my belly.
Yes.
And I'm here to tell you now, don't ever try to desecrate him.
Amen.
But it's not about him now, it's about you.
Yes.
Because see, he said, me and Father are not two,
we're one.
Stay in John 17 and you'll hear him say, I'm in them. And they're in me, and we're in thee.
Amen.
Now you separate the him from the you if you can, sir.
Right, that's right.
Come on now. You separate the him from the you if you can.
Hallelujah.
And you'll get a messed up computer. That's what religion done.
Mm-hmm.
Religion has built shrines and crosses and tombs and all kinds of gods and idols.
Yeah.
And we bow down to them and worship them.
Yeah.
And dying while we do it, still declaring that someday a resurrection is coming.
Yeah.
And you don't understand something. When you showed up, resurrection showed up.
Right.
Oh, you hear me now. And I think we have every right in the world to lay hands on people if that be the case.
Right.
Or he laid hands on a few people. He did more by speaking than he did laying on of hands.
Yeah.
And I don't think you do think that's strange concerning what you do from here on out either. He sent his word.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a scripture.
No,
no, no, no. No. And people all hung up about the King James. And I love this book. And I take nothing from it. But I'm going to tell you now, this ain't the word of God.
No,
this is scripture. Can you buy that now?
Mm-hmm.
This is scripture that testifies of him who is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He said it would. He told me, he said, you search the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you think you've got your life.
Yeah.
Read the next statement. He said, but you won't come to me that you can have life. They went to the scripture hoping to get life. It ain't fair. It's in the I am.
Mm-hmm. Holy God.
What was that, John? Okay. Verse 26, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Now you got to remember, his sheep was the lost sheep of Judah.
Yeah.
See, he came out of Judah, and no prophet ever wrote about anybody
coming out of Judah.
Coming out of Judah.
That's right.
Did he ever shake up somebody?
Yeah.
And see, the religious world has tried their best to tell you where you come from. They said you come from your mother's belly. Oh, no, no.
Mm-mm.
That was just a channel you come through.
Mm-hmm.
How many believe you were with a father from the beginning?
Amen.
And I've said this maybe here. My papa was Choctaw in French. My mom was Cherokee. I got an Indian brother in Oklahoma who said I had a bad mix, Choctaw and Cherokee. I said, oh, but brother, you forgot something. I've got French. See, French are known to be lovers. And I said, I still scalp them, but I do it with love.
Amen.
That way they don't feel no pain. See, while I'm scalping you, I'll kiss you. And you just all caught up in my kiss that you won't mind a scalp on your head.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
But I said that, say this. My father, and I don't know this, I don't know if I can prove it yet, but I'm not so certain that I didn't help choose who my parents was going to be.
Amen.
Before I decided to come here.
I believe it. I believe it.
Hmm? What about you? Would you have chose your mom and daddy if you had to do over again?
Yeah.
You probably have the best mom and daddy in the world. Now, I don't know if I'm going to believe it or not, but in my heart, I'm convinced that I have choose my natural parents.
Mm-hmm.
To get me into the underworld. Because I left the world and come into the underworld.
Yeah.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
I left a glory.
Yeah.
I pulled it off and laid it down.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled off the shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled off my ring.
Yeah.
My signal of authority and laid it all down.
Mm-hmm.
To come into an underworld.
Yeah.
To be taught a language that was so foreign to my home language,
yeah,
until mom and daddy had to teach me how to speak it.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody told me I was lost.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to be covered. So I run to a religious system, to a religious tree. It took me some fig leaves,
mm-hmm,
and made me a cover. I joined the church and got baptized and spoke in another tongue. I don't have a clue what it was. I know one thing. It wasn't the language that I had with my father before I got here.
Amen.
Y'all look at me funny now, but I'm mm-hmm. this is all right. We'll come back tonight. We'll go somewhere else.
Amen.
Would it shock you if I proved to you the second chapter of Acts? He said the days of Pentecost had fully come.
Fully come, yes.
Mm-hmm. 120 people in that upper room.
Mm-hmm.
500 had been invited to go.
Mm-hmm.
120 went. But see, only 120 could show, because that signified the trumpets back under Moses.
Mm-hmm.
And the 120 trumpets that would sound under Moses would go to that upper room, because they would sound, but they wouldn't sound what Moses sounded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Different trumpet.
Yes. Yes.
He said something that came like a wind.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said there's rushing wind coming to that room. It don't say there's a rushing wind. It said it sounded like a wind. Is that what it says? And the wind filled all the house. Will you tell me something? Horse sense again. Pray God tell me, how can a wind fill a house? Horse sense.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, whatever that was, filled all the house. Mm-hmm. And then he claimed cloven tongues.
Mm-hmm.
Two, the tongue was split.
Mm-hmm.
It was Moses,
mm-hmm.
law, and grace. It was a natural tongue. Go down to the same chapter of the book of Acts, and there were 16 nations there, heard them speak in their home language.
Yes, yes.
My God, where we been?
Mm-hmm.
Let me, who knows, or how many's ever got thought, to who the Holy Ghost really is?
Mm-hmm.
See, he said, I got to get out of here, because if I don't go, comfort won't come. But if I go, I'm going to send you somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And the emphasis was, he's going to guide you into all truth.
Mm-hmm.
That was his primary mission.
Mm-hmm.
Not to speak in some tongue, but to guide you into truth.
Mm-hmm.
And will take you back to your native language so that you could, in reality, speak an unknown tongue. An unknown tongue, Paul said, is speaking mysteries.
Yeah.
I declare to you, I'm speaking now in an unknown tongue as far as the church world is concerned.
Amen.
And I don't have goosebumps and cold flashes and hot chills. I have reality. This is an unknown tongue that he said we have to speak.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord has dealt with me about worship. And I haven't got enough grace yet. Well, that ain't truth. I haven't come to a place where I'll exercise the grace to do it yet. But I will. He dealt me about true worship. And all my life, I was taught true worship was singing the songs and feel a good feeling and speak in tongues, raise my hands, and feel good. I don't know what you've been taught. That's what I was taught. But true worship has got nothing to do with a singing a song.
That's right.
True worship has got nothing to do with goosebumps, hot flashes, and cold chills.
Amen.
And I've experienced all of them. True worship is offering a sacrifice.
Yes.
Plus nothing. Father, if you don't believe it. And see, they've got seminars now that will teach people how to lead
mm-hmm.
praise and worship. They don't know there's a difference. You see, we've been made a praise
yes.
unto his glory.
Yes. Yes.
We've not been made a worship.
That's right.
We've been made a praise. And praise and worship is a long way apart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether y'all like this or not. I hope you do. Let me ask you this. Would you be willing to change everything that you do if you knew that's what you're supposed to do?
Amen.
Would you go through the categories that you've got in your mind up here? Would you go through that vocabulary that you have been taught by a religious mentality and go in there and pull the roots of that thing out and start saying what you hear Father say plus nothing? You think we could do that? There's some people now that's doing that. I found myself saying things that I think, please God, forgive me. That's not truth. That's a religious mentality, vocabulary that I've been taught to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know this, and I know this. You can listen to my tape, anybody's tape, and get up in the pulpit on Sunday morning and say exactly the same thing I said, and say it the way I said it. But if you don't have a revelation of it yourself, there won't be an ounce of life in it.
Amen.
It becomes another religious ball game.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We sang songs, and you know this be a fact, that was written 30 years ago for that day. Wonderful, beautiful song for that day.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever stopped to think that maybe there's a song for this day that nobody's ever sung?
Yes.
Don't you think that we're the people of God now, and we sang the song, we're the children of the day?
Mm-hmm.
We're the city of God? We're the light of God? Don't you think that maybe out of that environment there can be a song for this day? Who cares if it rhymes? Who cares if you put music to it? It's a song by the Spirit of truth welling up in that river that's in you coming out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think we can do that?
Amen.
I'm going to close. If I don't hurry, I ain't going to get to where I started. And that's always my problem. Somebody told me one time, said, you sure run a lot of rabbit trails. I smiled and I said, yeah. I do,
catch your rabbit.
But I always bring home the rabbit. Can't go hungry.
Hallelujah.
See, I feed you something your belly may not like, but your spirit will leap with joy if you'll let it.
Yes.
I preached somewhere not long ago, and the brother drops his head. He says, man, he said, Brother Ray has sure given us a lot to think about tonight. That's what I went there for. Now hear me. I don't say this boastfully. Please. Ain't no boast in my heart about nothing. But I'd hate to know that I spent 2.5 hours driving here and you spent your day to come here and leave here and I don't jar you from where you've been.
Amen.
I come to make things happen.
Amen.
And I don't say that with the wrong attitude, and you know I don't. It's time that we got off of ground zero.
Exactly.
Don't you think it is?
Yes.
I don't know about you, but God, don't you get tired of going to the same old routine week after week after week, day after day after day, hearing the same old rhetoric over and over and over? Don't you get tired of that?
Sure.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And he has sent some people, he sent a messenger that's going to wrestle with you about your true identity.
Yes.
I've said everything I'm going to say to tell you that that's what I'm here for, is to wrestle with you.
Amen.
To get you to understand whoever you have been in the religious order, that ain't who you really are. You are a prince with God. You've got favor with God and power with God. You've got favor with men and power with God.
Amen.
To do everything that God sent you here to do.
Amen.
Plus nothing. Here's where we go. For time's sake, verse 10. And all mine are thine, and things are mine, and I'm glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And that word world there literally means a religious order. It really does. I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Father, keep through thine own name.
Mm-hmm.
Hear this now, this is vital. Keep through thine own name. See, the name is the identity.
Mm-hmm.
Names is always important because name will depict your character.
Mm-hmm.
Your name will follow you. People know you by your name, but they know you by what you do.
Mm-hmm.
They may call you John Doe or James Smith, or whatever, but they know you by what you do.
Amen.
See, your name is your identification.
Mm-hmm.
He said, keep them in my own name. Did you ever notice he never said, take them and keep them in my name?
Mm-hmm.
Did you look at that?
Mm-hmm.
He completely got out of the picture here. Keep them through thine own name. Those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one. Then he tells you why. That they may be one.
Mm-hmm.
As we are. How many are they? God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Ghost? Of course not. Mm-mm. There's never been but one. They may be multiple variations, but there's always been one. God is one spirit.
Amen.
God ain't a dozen different spirits.
That's right.
God is one spirit. Just one spirit. And so it's amazing. And we'll go back to John 1 in a minute. See, it says in John, Jesus made the same that God is spirit. God is spirit. And if you're going to worship God, you've got to do it in spirit mm-hmm. and in truth. It literally says if you're going to worship God, you've got to worship Him in the spirit of truth.
Yes.
Not in the spirit of error. Mm-mm. Not in your religious exercises.
Amen.
If you're going to worship God, you've got to do it in the spirit
Amen.
Of truth.
Amen.
Now, religious exercise has taught us what to do when we go to church.
Yeah.
How to do it. And it's the same routine over and over. We'd be scared of that sometimes if the spirit of truth just comes down and
yes.
made us dumb that we couldn't say a word. Wouldn't that be awesome? Oh my God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Not let nobody say nothing until the spirit of truth touched somebody.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to tell you, you might well get ready for it because it's coming.
Amen.
If you think the ball game is going to keep going with the same umpire, you've got another guess coming.
Mm-hmm.
God, we've stepped to the batter's box just about our last inning. We ain't about to change umpire. We're going to change our whole rules we've been playing by. We're going to change our whole set of what we've been playing by.
Yeah.
Is this too hard?
No.
Verse 12, while I am with them in this world, I kept them. Whose name?
Mm-hmm.
Read out loud. I kept them. How come he didn't put his name in there? If it was Jesus, 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 how come Jesus didn't get involved here? Why did he refer to the Father instead of to himself? Hello?
Because the man didn't know it. The Spirit did.
Let me ask you, if the man Jesus ain't no more, and the Scripture says he ain't after the flesh, you don't know him after the flesh, what would you do if a man come through that door, dark eyes, beard, long robe, sandals, long hair, and says, I'm Jesus. What would you do? Now, you'd probably get up and say, get out of here.
No.
But in our mentality, that's who we still pray to.
Mm-hmm.
That's who we still look for to appear. Dear God, you wouldn't know him if he come down the aisle. Because we are, our image of him is a mentality that the religious system has painted. They've either got him sitting, holding a baby sheep in his arm, or little kids in his arms, or a crown of thorns on his head. That's all they know about him. You read on in John, and I ain't going to do it because I'm getting ready to quit. But he says, I come to judge the world. He said, I come to shut the eyes of those who say they see
mm-hmm.
and to open the eyes of those who can't see.
That's right. Amen.
Now, that sounds like a strange paradox. He come to bring blindness to perfectly good eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You catch that.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to bring vision to the eyes that couldn't see nothing.
That's
right. So he has to close eyes before you can really see.
Hallelujah.
Don't be afraid to let him close your eyes to everything that has been.
Amen.
Dear God, what have you got to lose?
Right.
Some of us is close to a hole in the ground if something don't change. Will you pray, God, tell me what you're going to do if you go to a hole in the ground? How do I see? I see. And all you see is a religious thing that's been so embedded in our mentality that it's almost sacrilegious. Go beyond it. I tell you here now, I fear the face of no man. And I fear nothing to say that my Father, I know my Father put in my heart. And it is an unknown tongue to the religious system. But that's what God sent you here for. God sent you here for the purpose to stir the eagle's nest and let the eagles get out of there and let them become who they really are and do what they come here to do. Now, he's going to tell you, as he told me, physician, heal thyself. Maybe you've seen this. There's a documentary on the internet. And there's an Oprah Winfrey. Did you see those two doctors running the other day?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? The two doctors showed what you eat naturally. Partially hydrogenated oil and sugar. Two major culprits. How many know what hydrogenated oil is? It's oil shot with hydrogen to preserve the life of it. Mm-hmm. And every time you eat a good old McDonald's French fry, you putting fat all around your heart. Mm. That's what it does. It does. Drink one Coca-Cola and you drink the equivalent of 5 spoons of sugar. Y'all don't love me now. But you see, you want that inward man to make that outward man well. You can't make that outward man well. To start with, that outward house is just the vessel that contains the treasure.
Uh-huh.
We have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm a steward of this vessel because it contains the treasures of the kingdom. We need to be good stewards of this outward house. And we're not, but see, again, we bought advertising, TV. We don't buy quality. We buy advertising. Sounds good, tastes good. Man, it must be good. They show kids eating, and especially women now, eating and drinking, and there's something funny. They know we stupid men, pardon me, maybe I better speak for myself, but the egotistical attitude that men has got about women.
Yeah.
And I know I'm meddling now, but that's all right, I'm here. I was born and raised in the South. Maybe you was, maybe you wasn't. But in the South, all the way from the Oklahoma Bible Belt all the way back east to the Virginias and Carolinas, there's been a mentality planted in a man's mind that he's some super-duper somebody and he's got an ego big as the side of a mountain, and that woman ain't nothing but a slave to him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She does what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, and then shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, have you ever noticed how the system is changing now? They're putting a woman on TV to get you men to buy things.
Yeah.
And your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if her legs are not covered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody said, who do you think you're kidding? I know you just love me to death. Wouldn't you love to hug my neck real good right now? Go to John, I quit. Chapter 1. We're in John. Go to chapter 1. And I tell you what I'm preaching now is new to me, this to you. This ain't something I premeditated or conjured up in my thinking. It's what I hear, feel in my heart. In the beginning. Now go to Genesis chapter 1, you see the same word, in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Only in Genesis chapter 1 it says, in the beginning, God said, let there be light. Now, let me ask you a question. And I don't want to hurry this. If I do, I'm going to miss it. When he said, let there be light, exactly what was he saying? Because you come through the centuries of time and you see him build a tabernacle in the wilderness. That was their light. You see them marching in the wilderness and you see the sky would light up at night. And all these supernatural events. But you come out of that era into the new covenant, and here comes a man. And he comes from the wrong tribe. Mm-hmm. Nobody knows who he is. Mm-hmm. The wise man didn't even know who he was. The only evidence that they had of him was the star. The bright and morning star. The star of David. Mm-hmm. And they followed the star. And when they got there, they found there's a baby in the manger. Mm-hmm. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth was the question. Mm-hmm. But that man would say this, I am the light of the world. Now let's go back to Genesis a minute. Who was he talking about? What was he saying when he said, let there be light? Was he talking about a people? Mm-hmm. I can prove that he was now.
Yeah.
My God, it set my heart to dancing. Never been a man. Oh, Moses could throw a rod down and turn to a serpent. Throw a rod down and swallow it up. Elijah would come along and nobody knew who he was. They call him the life giver, the rainmaker. He said, it's not going to rain according to my word. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, God told me. He didn't say, I had an unction. He just said, according to my word, mm-hmm. it ain't going to rain. Right. Will you dare? Will you ever come to a place where you know mm-hmm. that you're far beyond the law of the prophets? And if a person can say that in his position, dear God, tell me, what can you say?
Hallelujah.
Oh, I'm afraid. Oh, that sounds sacrilegious. It is sacrilegious. Mm-hmm. But you see, I'm trying my best to get rid of all religious.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's sacrilegious. I'm trying my best to get rid of all religion.
Mm-hmm.
Every drop of it, every bit of it. So here comes a man. Nobody knew him. Even his own disciples, when he come to them, said, who do men say I am? Have you ever noticed it's always who I am?
Mm-hmm.
Who I am? Who I am? I am. I am. I am. You ever notice that?
Mm-hmm.
They say, oh, somebody says this, and somebody says that. But he said, but who you say I am?
Mm-hmm.
And it's always I am. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am?
Mm-hmm.
You say you're the Christ or the anointing? As he is, so are you. Do you believe you're the anointing of God?
Amen.
Come on now, be honest.
Sure.
We believe you are.
Yeah.
Scripture says you are.
Mm-hmm.
He gets ready to get out of here. And he comes along, and he every one time said that he was a city now. He said, I'm the light of the world. And he come on this lead, he said, you're the city. You're the one now that's on the hill, not me. Please hear this.
Mm-hmm.
You're the city. I'm not the city. You're the city.
Right.
Then he come along and he started, he said, and you're the light of the world.
Amen.
Yes.
And I believe I heard some while ago when she was talking about the vision. When the brother said, God said, you're the door. I'm going to tell you now, and I don't know how much you're going to hear this, how much our sleepy heads can get a hold of this, I don't know that. But I'm going to tell you this now. You've come to a name-changing experience in your life
yes.
until you're going to understand a whole lot of things, who you really are, that you're afraid to lay hold of.
Amen.
And you'll have to get alone and let that message convince you that you are who you are.
Yes.
So he said, let there be light. I'm going to tell you what I believe in my heart. I believe right then and there, he was bringing me into existence.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
Oh, God, say, cool,
hallelujah.
Papa.
Yes.
I believe right then and there my destiny was forever determined. I would become the light of the world.
Yes.
I would become the city set on a hill. And I believe with all of my being that with a new Jerusalem that's coming down from God, prepared. And I'm going to tell you now there ain't nothing wrong with that city. It needs no fixing. It needs no repairs. She's coming now, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And read down a little further and it says, and the nations which are saved is going to walk in the light of the city.
Yes. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
John 1, in the beginning was the Word. Oh, but Genesis chapter 1, it said, and God said, read a little bit further, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now read verse 3 and we'll quit. And all things were made by Him. Who's the Him? The Word? God? One and the same. Somebody said, oh, that's Jesus. I beg your pardon. He don't say nothing about Jesus. It's about the Word. It's about the Word. It's about the Word. It's about God. God and Word are the same, one and the same. It ain't God and His Word. It's God that is Word. Can we hear this?
Amen.
Somebody said, God, it ain't God and His Word. It's God that is Word.
Yes. Glory.
I'm reading it. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him, the Word, the life. It ain't said nothing about Jesus.
Right.
It's the Word.
Amen.
It's God. In Him, in God, in the Word. One and the same with life.
Yes.
And the life. Say it out loud.
With the light of man.
Ain't that something?
Hallelujah.
Ain't that something?
Yes.
Now, who was the life? The Word?
The Word.
God? That's what all things were made by Him. Where'd you come from?
God.
The Word.
The Word.
God. What was you when you got here? Light. I can prove it now. I'm proving now. I'm not marking up a tree.
Right.
And see, we come to be the light of the world. I'm going to quit. I can see now. Somebody sat my guy rubbing your tummy. I tell you what. I don't know. I say I don't know. Maybe I need to change that vocabulary like you said a while ago. I'll tell you what I do know then. We now have pulled shoes off. And we're treading on ground that no generation has ever touched.
Yes.
There's never been any part of His creation that was created for this day. And here's what He shared in my heart. He created this day for a people that He created in the beginning.
Yes, He did.
And He brought us to it.
Amen.
And here's why He brought us to this day. To declare this day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
This day. And we are declaring this day, this day, this day, this people is this day. Praise God. I bless you.
Hallelujah.
Reach over and hug somebody's neck and say, ain't that good?
Ain't that good?
Oh, hug her neck.
Ain't that good?
Praise the Lord.
That was good. Hallelujah. Yeah. I want us to take up an offering for our brother. Just come up and give it. I just bless you in the name of the Lord.